Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now. But something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Driven Woman podcast. I just got this review. It just made me laugh out loud, from Canuck Liz. Now, for those of you in the United States who don't have any Canadian friends, you may or may not know that they refer to themselves as Canuck. So I have a feeling that Liz is in Canada. Tell me if I'm right. Liz says, "Are you talking about me? I just listened to the episode on memory and forgetfulness, and I felt like you were talking about me. I have struggled with my memory and concentration for years. I've blamed it on age, stress, being stupid, and even thought I might have early Alzheimer's. My memory, or lack of it, has definitely held me back and kept me playing small in some situations. Thank you for talking about it in this episode, and thank you for this podcast. I'll be listening to them all." Well, Canuck Liz, I hope you're still listening to the Driven Woman podcast. And, you know, I speak from my own experience and that of all the women like me, and it sounds like you, that I'm able to connect with and reach and inspire, inform, and maybe add a little lightness to their day. So you certainly added a little lightness to mine. Now, this week, we have another special guest expert. For those of you that have been working from home this past almost year now as a result of the quarantine stay at home due to the COVID pandemic, you will know that it's not so easy to do. I didn't really start struggling with my own ADHD symptoms until I became a work from home entrepreneur. There's a lot of reasons for this, including difficulty shifting from one thing to another, difficulty setting boundaries, and just the million and one distractions we have in our homes. So I invited, as our very special guest this week, Barbara Trapp from Zen Your Den. Barbara is a professional organizer who is a wizard at helping people eliminate physical clutter, digital clutter, and the overwhelm that goes with it. You will want to get a pen and paper handy as you listen to this episode, unless you're driving, of course, because she gives so many practical, actionable suggestions that you could put to work today. You're just going to love it. You can also learn more about Barbara by visiting her website at Zen Your Den. The link to that, her socials, and some excellent free information she has for you are all in the show notes. So without further ado, I welcome Barbara Trapp from Zen Your Den, who's going to get us organized. As promised, I am bringing you more guest experts on the Driven Woman. And today I am very excited to share with you my friend Barbara Trapp from Zen Your Den. Barbara is a professional organizer. Can I get an amen? She is going to share with us today what to do with all the stuff. Now, I'm simply going to speak for myself here in saying that I accumulate stuff, ideas, information, and then the problem of what to do with it. So welcome, Barbara, and please help us.
Thank you, Diane, for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
So
where to start?
let's start at the beginning. What would possess, and I assume you're an organized person.
Yes.
Okay, good. That's good.
But just so you know, I have my moments. I mean, nobody's perfect. I've had a struggle too.
We're going to get into that. I love to dig out the juicy goodness. But trust me when I say I can't imagine why anybody would want to become a professional organizer, because you have to deal with all people's clutter and disorganization and chaos and confusion. And I think that might be a little overwhelming, but evidently it's not.
Well, it's not. I realize I've just been doing it in different forms most of my life, and I didn't even know professional organizers existed until 2016. And really, there are some times in my life I probably would have benefited myself, you know, going through life transitions, you know, maybe having a messy room when I was younger, and having trouble studying or taking notes in college. I was, you know, winged it through high school and did well, but college was a whole different thing. Couldn't find things. But I think it kind of started whenever my parents left the house for a couple hours, I would rearrange the furniture.
So I think that's called gaslighting. They would come home and you'd say, "What?" And they say, "Barbara, you've moved the furniture. Mom, Dad, I don't know what you're talking about."
That's right. Well, the funny thing is they usually kept it that way. But years later, when I had a daughter, she had Barbies, and she says, "Mom, play Barbies with me." And I would say, "Okay." And I'd take plastic bags and I'd take all the clothes, little Baywatch Barbie clothes, put them in one bag, cowboy clothes in another, all the brushes in one, you know, a little box to sort the shoes by color and style. And I hung the clothes and made a curtain rod in the house. And she's like, "Mom, you're not playing with the Barbies, you're organizing them." Like,
so you were born for this. You were meant to. Actually, just as you were describing putting all the things together and grouping them, I thought, I actually feel better already. And they're not even my, I think there's just people who have busy minds, hand raised. Love you too. Good. Love things to be organized, but oftentimes don't know how to do it. And so what I'm hearing from you is that you enjoy organizing, but maybe aren't naturally organized.
Yeah, I think, well, sometimes it's been a struggle, and I think it's partly perfectionism. Thinking, you know, if I'm not, can't do it right, I'm just not going to do it. I can't start. And you can't see behind me, but on the wall behind me is my vision board and this big word, big letters that spell out decide. So I had a couple vision board workshops at the beginning of the year and encouraged everybody to come up with their word for the year. And I'm like, can't figure out what my word is. Which one should it be? And I can't decide. And like, oh, you know what? That's it. Yeah. Decide. That's always my biggest thing, is making decisions. So I think that's what slows me down sometimes with things. It's just deciding which way am I going to do something? Which is the best way? And I'll research things to death. And sometimes you just got to kick yourself in the rear and get going and do something and start somewhere. So, I do help people figure out where to start. That's always just the biggest thing.
That is absolutely something that people with ADHD struggle with. I'm fond, because a lot of my audience has ADHD, including me. I say, it's not that big a deal. We only have three problems: starting, stopping, and switching gears. And of course, people think, okay, very funny, that covers everything. But truthfully, a lot of us struggle with making decisions. And wanting to make the right decision and the best decision. So the perfectionism kicks in, and then you don't know how to make the perfect decision and you don't know where to start. So you procrastinate. So it becomes kind of a vicious cycle. So you discovered that you had a knack for organizing, and not just your own, but others' things. And you eventually found your way into a role of professional organizing. What are the kinds of things, and I know you have expertise in helping folks with ADHD as well. What kind of things do you discover that those of us who are working from home, which under the current conditions is pretty much everyone? What do you think the unique challenges are in terms of clutter, disorganization, deciding what to do with things? Like, what do you think the unique challenges are that we are facing now that we're working from home?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is having some separation. Now I'm in a small apartment. It's gorgeous. It's on the river. It's like a 1930s apartment. It's beautiful.
Nice.
But it's small. And early on, I thought, oh, pretty, I get to work from home. So I'm sitting on my sofa with my laptop and, you know, trying to produce, have the windows open, which is great. But then I'm associating my sofa in the living room with work.
Yes.
And even though I had an office, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to go in there. And I'm like, you know what? That needs to be work. Living room needs to be like living, reading, and, you know, sitting on the porch. And my bedroom, certainly nothing, no work things in the bedroom. If you can at all keep an office out of there, great, or have a separation. Just so you're not dragging it along with you everywhere you go.
That's such a good point, Barbara, because what I tell my clients is when they're having difficulty being productive is to create a designated space for work.
Exactly.
Like, it's not the bedroom because that's for sleep and the other S word. And it's probably not the kitchen table because that's where you eat. Living room is generally where you relax and have family time, maybe watch TV or read. So, but it is a challenge when you have to do all of those things at home and you don't have a designated spot. One of my current clients has been struggling to write and she really, really, really wants to write. But I said, would you mind, because I work virtually like you do, would you mind showing me where you are currently attempting to write unsuccessfully? And she shows me on her laptop this beautiful room that has all these paintings that she painted and all these books that, of course, she'd like to read. And this beautiful window with, you know, wonderful wildlife outside. And I said, I think I'm beginning to understand the problem. So I called it attractive hazards or attractive nuisance or something like
that. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
But because she, whenever she was in that room, she was surrounded by things that she would rather be doing. So we actually discovered in her house what we're now calling her writing nook. And it's literally, because I know some people are thinking, well, it must be nice for you. You have space. But if you don't have space, she found like a little nook literally in her house, like a little cubbyhole where all she can have room for is a little flat space to write on or put the laptop on, a chair, nothing else, no windows.
Right.
No. And I said, don't hang anything pretty up. Don't bring a candle. Don't like you a glass of water or a cup of coffee and your laptop and maybe a pen and paper. That's it. And it sounds like you would agree, like having a designated space.
I think that's what Stephen King does. He has a spot with his first rejection letter hanging over his wall. And in one of his books, he I think it's called On Writing. And he does talk about, you know, his writing style, where he writes. And there are different writers have different habits. Some can like write wherever. Others, you know, have to go away. I think my Angelo would rent out a hotel room and that's where, and she would go to a little motel room so she could get away from everything.
But it sounds like what you're saying is to be productive at home. Cause really, I mean, why do people hire a professional organizer? We can get into that, but I suspect one of the reasons is that they're not productive when they have stuff everywhere that's distracting them. Right.
Right.
So it sounds like the first order of business is if you're going to try to work from home to have a designated space that, but what about the clutter? Like I'm sure you've had people tell you, yes, I have piles, but I know what's in them. Don't touch my piles.
Yeah.
I'm not a piles person. So what do you do with that?
Well, here's the thing. If somebody could be messy or appear to be messy and cluttered, but still be organized. If you can find things, you're organized. Now, if it's distracting, that's not good. There are other people who are organized, who everything looks in place. Nothing is out, but they can't find anything because it's inside drawers and tucked away in closets and whatever. And so I kind of refer to those people as, my question would be, are you an innie or an outie? Do you like things tucked in closets, in drawers, in places, or do you like things out because you need the inspiration and because out of sight is out of mind? Now, I've had one client who said she'd be perfectly happy living in a hotel room because nothing else is out. Others are like, I need my colored pencils. I need my vision board. I need, all this stuff to inspire me. And if that's you, that's great. But general clutter is usually a problem for most. So let's say you're finally deciding, okay, I'm going to break into that so-called office guest room, the junk room that's just cluttered. Now, where do I start? Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, I say, okay, open the door. If things are on the floor, start there. Clear the floor mm-hmm. so it's not a trip hazard. And once you get things off the floor, let's say, okay, the entire desk is cluttered. You still don't know where to start. Start from the top down and work down because the things on top are going to be more time sensitive, things you can actually do something about. Now, I've had a client once who the entire desk was covered and it was a U shape of tables in the room. I said, okay, let's go clockwise. Let's start at the left side of the desk and we're going to move to the right. And we did. But every once in a while, she'd jump over and say, oh, let me go get this. Nope, come on back. Let's go back to that spot. And we did not move until we cleared off every single place. Now, it's not like, okay, if you had six books scattered on the table, we wouldn't go by category and grab the books. No, we're trying to stay laser focused on one spot and move around.
So I'm going to make sure I'm being a good student here. Obviously, I have a personal interest in the topic. Okay, so if you've got a neglected room in the house, and we're 8 months into this quarantine situation with no end in sight. So if it's time to claim the space, and that's going to be, if you're privileged and fortunate enough to have an unused room, you're going to now convert it to your home office instead of lying to yourself that you're productive from the couch or the bed or the kitchen. Let's be honest.
Right.
And you open the door. First rule is clear the floor. So you don't fall down and then you have a perfect excuse not to continue.
Right.
And then it's top down. So clear the floor, top down. And then when you get to the flat surface, I hope you people are taking notes, right? Because I am. What is the magic about the clockwise? Does it matter if it's clockwise or does it matter that it's methodical
Yeah, methodical. It's a kind of a measurable thing. I mean, you could go counterclockwise. Doesn't matter. Left to right, right to left. I'm just saying.
But we don't want to give them options. It's like follow the program.
That's right. Let's go clockwise. Okay. Start at the left and continue to move. Now, the problem is a lot of people say, okay, I just found a coffee cup with a science project growing in it. I got to take this to the kitchen. So then they go to the kitchen and they...
Then they realize they want a snack and then they realize there's dishes in the sink. And
exactly. And then there's laundry and, my favorite show's on, or the mail's coming, or I need a walk, or whatever it is. And
oh my gosh.
Staying on task.
She's narrating the story of my life. How did you know?
I do, but I got a solution for it.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, keep going.
It's very simple. It's like square. You're just going to grab a box or a bin or any container that's big enough, put it outside the door of the room you're working in. So as you come across things that don't belong there, put it in the box. Do not leave the room. And this is why virtual organizing is working so well right now, because I've been totally virtual since March 15th, like many people. And my clients, we are face to face and I can tell when they leave and disappear from the screen.
Can you turn up the volume? And so you can yell at them with a bullhorn or something. You're like, hey, I see you. Hey, where do you think you're going?
Pretty much, but mostly we are kind of deciding on the error we're working on first, and they take me with them, whether they prop me up in a shoe in their closet and I can see, look down on their hangers and what they're doing, or I'm sitting with them at the kitchen table while they go through paperwork and we're working on that. So so the secret is having a place to put things so you don't leave the room. And then when you're ready and you've done accomplished something, then you can take the box and take it around wherever it's supposed to be and distribute things. Now, how long do you decide? So here's three different ways you can think about this project. You okay. could say, number one, I'm going to clean up this little area, this corner of this room, and I'm not going to leave until it's done. Okay. There's another way where you could say, I'm going to spend 20 minutes on this project.
Right.
Until it's, you know, I'm going to set a timer and do 20 minutes and time it. Or you could say, I'm going to pick up 30 things. And when I've picked up and put away 30 things, I'll give myself a break.
So I want to make sure I'm understanding what, sure. what we're doing now, Barbara, mm-hmm. is we are determining the scope
right.
of
measurable
work for this particular, because you know, people get overwhelmed, especially right, right. now, so easily. And
right.
we all have good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to make our lives easier and more functional. But yeah. oftentimes there's between the thought and the action comes reality. And then you look at this room and think, oh my gosh, there's no way I can finish that. So
yeah.
breaking it down, and you've just given us three ways to
right.
decide what the scope of work is for this work session.
Yeah.
It's either going to be the length of time,
mm-hmm.
the particular area of the room, let's say the top three drawers of the desk,
right.
or it's the number of items. And it doesn't matter which one they choose.
Right. It doesn't.
Okay.
Mix it up, change it around. I love going by numbers. If you're saying, I got to weed out my closet. Okay. Take out 20 things. Keep going until you've weeded out 20 items. And then pat yourself on the back. Now, I did that once. The first time I did a big closet purge after a number of years, I said, I'm going to get rid of 50 items. Well, my mistake was I had a glass of wine while I was doing it and had music going, and somehow I got rid of my favorite pair of jeans too. So it was
Whoopsie.
51.
So you really do have to focus on the task at hand.
Yeah.
But now I'm confused, because you know, oftentimes I tell clients when there's something that they have been procrastinating on, resisting, avoiding,
right.
maybe even feel aversion to,
mm-hmm.
but they need to do it. They have the thought they should do it, and it's really interfering
right.
with their ability to function better. I usually tell them, do what you need to do to make it more pleasurable or fun. But it
yeah.
sounds like what you're saying is that for this type of task, for the decluttering,
mm-hmm.
You don't want to make it too fun, because then you might make mistakes. Like if you have wine on board, like you might actually make a mistake. You know, I have a okay. question for you, because I
sure.
find that oftentimes people get attached to their things. And it's frankly, mm-hmm. I mean, my adoptive mother passed away 2 years ago, and she was a hoarder.
Okay.
A legitimate hoarder. Now, we were estranged.
Oh.
I had not seen her for a decade, but after she passed and I was informed about it, my sister and I had to fly to another state and clear the house out. And I don't watch those reality shows. I don't watch any reality shows, but I especially mm-hmm. wouldn't watch that kind of show.
Right.
And I'd never actually seen up close and personal what a hoarder house looks like. And it's truly horrifying, but it's also
yeah.
very sad. And I realize that how does a person get to that state? But, you know, I think all of us have tendencies which, left unchecked, could eventually become that. Like, we get attached to items, we get attached to ideas, we get attached to information, and we get attached to the notion that I need this,
sure.
or if I don't need it now, I'll need it later. So then we justify
right.
hanging on to it. But in reality, in your work, don't you find that when you actually start helping people let go of things, whether it's clothing or paper or file folders on their computer. Mm-hmm. How do you get them to let go of it when they have this idea that, but I might need it later, or because it has some sort of sentimental value? That's got to be a big part of your work, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why I got a lot of coaching training, about a 2-year program, because we have to use coaching constantly when working with clients. And that's been very helpful, because we're basically coaching people through the process of letting go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what I found, and by the way, coaching is not therapy, and I'm not a therapist, and I always, you know, I am careful not to cross that line. But I have found that once people start organizing and letting things go, it usually gets easier. Mm. So when I was working in person, I was doing 4-hour sessions, and I always found out the person's level of anxiety, I could kind of measure by how far out they came to meet me at the car. So one woman actually left the house and came out. She was wringing her hands. I'm nervous. And how's it going to go? Are you going to make me throw everything out? I said, no, it's okay.
Oh, how
interesting. Other people come out the door and they're standing there. Somebody else called me as I was on my way, saying, I'm really nervous, I'm embarrassed, I'm scared. And so I can always, there's always a level of anxiety at first. And I said,
and shame too, right? Like I would imagine
yeah,
that people feel embarrassed and ashamed that they need professional help to organize their stuff, whether it's folders or shoes.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's a lot of it comes from life transitions. Things just get shaken up so bad. And I've had quite a number in the past 10 years alone, whether it's losing a job after 27 years because the company went bankrupt and here I am searching, going through a divorce, moving numerous times, job changes, starting a new business. And, it just gets really stressful. And I know when I was married and had a young child and was working full time and helping my husband's business on the weekend, I would have gladly, well, I might have been embarrassed too, but I could have used a professional organizer. I had plenty of lists of all the projects I wanted to tackle, but there were some times I'd think, wow, wouldn't it be great if I had somebody walk in here just to be by my side and help? And I think life transitions can shake things up. So even those who've been thought they were really organized in their past life, something's happened. And whether it's a parent dying and leaving behind an estate, it just things get shuffled.
I appreciate you bringing up the topic of transitions, Barbara, because I think people really underestimate how disruptive changes are. Like, it could be something like the loss of a pet or moving. A lot of people, obviously, divorce, changing jobs,
pandemic.
I'm thinking that, you know, I have been working from home for the last several years, and I feel very grateful that I made the transition before I was forced to.
Right.
I made it by choice. And my husband's now 1.5 years into working from home, and he's still really struggling with it on a number of levels. And I just think about all the people who are now attempting to work from home and have kids right there in the mix with them trying to go to school at home. So we are going to go back to the bedroom that we are cleaning up and going to use as an office. Like, do you recommend what you do the physical space first and then you address the digital space? Because this is something I think, like, here's a little reveal here. confession time.
Yeah.
My house looks pretty organized and it looks pretty uncluttered. Because the type of ADHD I have, if there's too many possessions around me, I feel anxious.
Visual noise.
Yeah, it's visual noise. So if I need to go buy something, I will maybe put that item that I'm running out of right where I can see it as a visual reminder. Right. But if I need 10 different items and I put each of them on the counter, it's overwhelm. So in that case, I need a list. So I prefer the pristine. I'm one of the innies, I guess you would say. Yep. So all of my clutter is hidden, but that doesn't mean I know where anything is. And I think for me, like hiring someone like yourself, I would probably have to work through a little bit of shame because I look like it's put together. Like I really do. But if you say, well, perfect example, I didn't send you the right link for this recording, this interview. So, you know, everything looks put together, looks organized. I dare you to find any clutter in my house or my home office. I don't literally.
See, your home would scare me more than anything. Whenever I've opened the door of entered a new home with a new client for the first time and it's spotless, I'm terrified because their idea of clutter, I'm thinking, what can I do to make it better? It looks like it's ready to show for selling. And I had one client who apologized for a 2-inch stack of mail, and that was literally all I could find, see at least. But then we opened drawers and closets, and that's where it was. I had a doctor client whose home was just immaculate, and he wanted an office set up, and I had to move some things around. But I opened one of the closet doors in his office, and there were three big bins full of paper. And I cracked one open. Half of it was unopened mail. So, So I said, can I switch to dealing with your paper? Do I have your permission to go through pre-open, organized stack? And I literally made piles of, okay, this bill is due in a month. Oh, here's your tax information. Here's things that, they're in big trouble. Oh, this is hot on fire. You got to deal with this now. So, you know, I always tell people when there's major clutter issues, open your mail. If you're not, there's another place to start because bad things can happen when you don't open your mail.
That's so interesting. So it's sort of like I'm beginning to see how your mind works and how systematic the process needs to be. I'm also wondering if like the fact that it's so systematic maybe in a way keeps your brain occupied enough that you're not indulging in the emotions of letting go. Yeah. It's kind of like, just keep following the path. Like we go to that, back to the bedroom, we open the door, there's stuff on the floor. You deal with that first, then you deal top down. Now we've gotten rid of all the extra stuff that would interfere with that extra bedroom being a functional office. So we get rid of all the stuff, but you just mentioned setting up an office for a client. So we take out everything that shouldn't be there, but then what does need to be there so that you have a functional home office that allows you to actually be productive? Not just a desk, right?
Absolutely. One of the things people don't always think about is the right lighting. So I've often gone in and changed light bulbs. I had one client who was working in with her lights off in this dark, cluttered office. So why aren't your lights on? And I don't usually ask why, but you know, I was concerned. Can I turn this on for you? And she said, no, the bulbs are too hot. It makes it too hot in here. I'm like, well, we can get some LEDs. So I actually got a little training on different light values. And I said, okay, we're going to get 5,000 Kelvin LED lights in here. 5,000 is like the closest, the brightest natural white light before it starts getting blue. And LED is cool. So I put those up there and, oh man, it was such a difference. So she could have light in her office. Then of course she looks around like, oh my gosh, this place is a mess. I didn't see all the dirt.
Well, maybe that's part of it too. But this story really reminds me of just how much people are willing to tolerate.
Exactly. You know, I want to throw in that it can be a little fun. I'll give you an example. There's some tasks that a lot of people just don't like to do, like folding laundry, unloading the dishwasher. I'll give you an example of a plant I bought, and it was in one of those little teeny containers, and I needed to repot it. Well, after a month, mm-hmm. it's still there, and I'm just kind of avoiding it and thinking, I need to go repot this thing before it dies. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to time this. So I set a timer and mm-hmm. I repotted it and I cleaned up, put the gloves away, watered the plant, less than 5 minutes.
Exactly.
I've been avoiding this for a month. So I say, you know, time some of these little annoying things. You could probably clean up your kitchen in like less than 10 minutes and just put that in perspective. You know, you're avoiding this task that's going to take a lot less time than you're spending avoiding it.
It's so true. I get the feeling you've probably worked with a lot of people with ADHD because so many of the things that you're saying, it's like, I mean, I was working with an ADHD coach at one point and mm-hmm. we were doing a body double session, which is basically right. like a virtual, you know, session.
Yep.
And it was a group program and each person in the group was supposed to bring to that 45-minute session something that they've been avoiding. They've been resisting, they've been procrastinating on that they mm-hmm. estimate will take about 45 minutes and mm-hmm. we're just going to get her done. And so right. it was a bookkeeping task. And I mm-hmm. just hate that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought this is definitely going to take more than 45 minutes, but at least if right. I get it started and I get it most of the way done, then I'll feel compelled to finish it. Mm-hmm. Barbara, it took 17 minutes. And then I was literally like twiddling my thumbs. So it gave me the idea that when I'm working with a client who's avoiding a task, there's nothing like a deadline to get us to take action when we're not taking. So set a timer, make mm-hmm. it a game, and see if you can beat the clock. Like if you think it's going to take 20 minutes, set a 10-minute timer and then go as fast as you can and just see. And lots of times you forget how much you hate the task because you're trying to beat the clock.
I know. I can,
do you
know,
do that
gamifying
too?
Things. I think it's great. I gamify everything. So I think that works great. Anything to make it fun. And yes, most of my clients do have ADD, ADHD, OCD, some sort of letters or some just general anxiety. So yeah, it's pretty typical. So
what do you tell them when they feel ashamed to be calling you? Because I can imagine that there are people that are thinking, I really need something like this, but it's so embarrassing, especially women. You know, women culturally are trained to think we should be naturally organized. I don't think anybody like comes out and says, if you have ovaries, you should be organized. But I think that we're the ones, generally speaking, that are expected to run the household and know where things are. And I mean, if there are kids don't come running in and asking dad, where are the scissors or the screwdriver or the duct tape or whatever. They always ask mom, and it's like this expectation that if you are a female, you are supposed to know where everything is, which requires you to be organized. And so if you are not an organized female, or you're just not organized in the home, or you're not organized during a pandemic, or what do you tell them that helps them like get over the hurdle and believe it's okay to partner with someone like you.
Right. Well, I think it's, you know, it's kind of part of self-care. And, you know, when we need a therapist, we hire a therapist. When we need a housekeeper, we hire that. When we need landscaping help, we do that. It's the same thing. We're kind of delegating and getting some expert help. I actually had a man call me last week. He's a friend of mine growing up, and I knew that he was having to downsize him and his sister's parents' home. Mm. And he'd been working on it for a year, and he called me and said, you know what? I'm so sorry to call you out of the blue. but I just walked into the house and it's almost done, but I just can't do it anymore. I just need some help. And he kept apologized like 3 or 4 times. I'm sorry for calling you out of the blue. I'm sorry. I said, you know, if people didn't call me out of the blue, I wouldn't have any clients.
Well, everybody, I mean, nobody says, you know, next April, I'm going to hire a professional. It's probably always a little bit of crisis intervention when they call you, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I've got one client who's 4 kids, 2 out of the house. Father died. He had 2 homes. Now, I was originally hired to help her with her home, but now she's having to downsize and sell 2 different homes who are outside the city, one in another state. Mm. And, you know, kudos to her for getting one of those sold. And the other one is going to be closed on. And she's like, I can't believe my house is still a mess. I said, think what you've accomplished so far. Yeah. It's a lot of work. So I've been working with her as a body double and helping her with kind of project management and vetting contractors and coming up with a plan and doing a mind map or whatever would speak to her to get it done. And, you know, sometimes we just need to be reminded of how far we've come. And that's what I do when I think, you know, I get frustrated about something, especially with technology. Mm. I was telling you earlier that I bought my first computer on the Home Shopping Network. I'm going to really date myself, 1992, and I didn't touch it for a year. And this is when they came with dust covers. I was so intimidated by it.
Oh, wow.
And then I finally touched it and took the thing off and took a class. And 3 years later, I was teaching Microsoft classes.
Look how far you've come.
I know. So I always think when I get frustrated and want to throw the phone or the computer or something, I'm like, okay, let me think. How much have I learned in the past month? I've come from point A to point B. I can go from point B to point C. So I always use that to kind of lift myself up.
Yourself of your you know, that's another really good point because, you know, I'm sure both you and I encourage our clients to write things down.
Sure.
Check them off the list, schedule all the productivity things. But I think something most people do need to be reminded of is to give yourself credit for all you've accomplished. It's one of the reasons why I started using Trello for my task management, because you can make checklists and each time you accomplish one item on the list, it checks the little box and it crosses a line through the item, but it's still there. I used to use a whiteboard for my daily tasks.
Okay.
And what I realized was that every time I accomplished something, I wiped it off the board.
And you can't see your accomplishments.
Precisely. I mean, right. In the moment, it felt good to wipe it off the board because then I knew it was done and I didn't have to look at that long list. But there was no way for me as the day and week went by to remember how much I've accomplished. It is literally gone. So it is actually better for me to use the Trello where I can go back and look at my checklist and see all my little check marks and my little lined out things, which brings me to my next question.
Sure.
For those people like me who generally have a, I don't know if I'd say organized, but uncluttered living space and uncluttered working space. But when it comes to my laptop and all the newsletters that I get and all the freebies that I sign up for and all the digital downloads that I acquire and all the online courses and all the other people's websites and the blogs and it's not only a matter of at any given time, how many tabs do you have open, but how do I decide what to keep and what to toss? And how do I organize the never ending accumulation of files and folders? It just seems like in the moment, it's very deceptive because let's say I listen. This is the typical flow.
Sure.
I'll listen to a podcast and the guest that's being interviewed has some piece of information that seems important and necessary. And then, of course, they have a little freebie. So I click on the link and I sign up for the thing and I download it. And maybe I don't need it right now, but I know I'm going to need it at some point. So I save it. Mm-hmm. That continues on and on and on and on. So now I have dozens, hundreds, maybe thousands of all those. So many that I don't even want to go look. Now, Now maybe I am totally crazy and unusual, but I suspect there are others out there who have digital clutter. Tell me I'm not the only one.
No, you're not the only one. And I'm one of them. And I collect knowledge like people collect coins and anything else we collect. In fact, one of my goals in 2016 was to read 52 books a year. And I'm pretty much kept up with that. But I've given myself a pass this year because I thought, you know, it's mostly productivity, self-help, organizing books, staging, marketing, just all, you know, new business mm-hmm. owner books and all the top classics and some I reread. And I thought, okay, I got to meet this goal, But the other thing was I was collecting all this knowledge, but I wasn't doing. I was learning, but not doing. There's a big difference. So I'm just giving myself a pass on the rest of the year. The only books I'm listening to are like fiction and taking a rest and utilizing some of the things I've been learning, you know, from all of these different, you know, books and resources, which I love, but I just need to revisit some of that. And sometimes it can be too much. I was looking at my Facebook groups a couple weeks ago and I thought, yeah, I wonder how many I have. Seems like it's a lot. There were over 40. And because when Facebook groups started, you didn't have to ask people's permission. You could just mm-hmm. plunk them in your group. Yep. And I hadn't weeded out. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's digital. It's not hurting anything, but I'm like, man, I need to organize this and get rid of some. So I did. I got rid of, you know, at least half and probably will weed out a few more, but I'm certainly not an active member in half of these. And I'm just like, whew, that was a lot.
it's really the same. It's the same process, isn't it? I mean, now that you're mentioning, it's like open your closet.
Right.
And you have, I mean, honestly, I've barely left the house in almost a year. Right. And yet I still have all those clothes and shoes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's just sitting there. Yeah. And all those digital downloads and those mm-hmm. free courses and all that, let's be honest with ourselves, most of them are either out of date.
Right.
Or
technology.
Yes, or I got them and maybe I needed them, but maybe not right then. And by the time I did need them, something better had come along. And it's like we need to simplify, streamline, minimalize every area of our life, or at some point we're going to be buried by information and stuff. But how do you decide? Like, well, one thing I did, you got out of a lot of your Facebook groups. I unsubscribed to probably almost 100 newsletters or email lists because it's so easy to say yes, but then you say yes indiscriminately and they just pile up.
Yeah.
So do you recommend people like, get out of, like, if somebody says, I'm just overwhelmed with my digital life, I've got too many email, maybe email is a good place to start. I've got too many emails. What do you do for that person? What do you tell them?
So I'll tell them what I did. One thing I did with for my mother, I got rid of, I think, 60,000 emails in 2 hours. So
how does she have 60,000 emails?
Well, she's only had one email address that she shared with my father. They, you know, they made donations to charities and things mm-hmm. and they just collected. So nothing was ever, you know, deleted. And mm-hmm. There's way more than 60,000 emails still in there. for hurting anybody. But what I did was I sorted them by put them in alphabetical order. And I just kind of scanned to see what was there. And that, what I recommend for any email inbox is going into the search box and typing in the name of the company to bring it up and get all those together. And then if you
name of, I'm sorry, which company?
Well, let's say it's JCPenney. Let's say it's a store. Okay. So you type in JCPenney and you see hundreds of their emails pop up. Open
group
up
them
the
together.
First one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Open up the first one, scroll down, find the unsubscribe. And then once you've done that, delete all the rest.
Got it.
And then you can get rid of them in chunks. Now, some companies will have like three different email addresses things are coming from because they're seasonal. You might have to do with a couple other type versions of their emails, but then you can get rid of hundreds at a time that way. Mm-hmm. And just like with clothes, so if I was going through a closet, I'd pull something out and I'll say, okay, here's my three magic questions. If you didn't already own this, would you buy it now? If when was the last time you used it, or when was the last time you opened this type of email, or when do you think the next time is that you're going to wear it or use it or open it and read it? And if your answer is not right away, or I don't know, or no, I wouldn't join it now, then you can safely delete that.
Well, that sounds like the most magical of your three magical questions is is if I didn't, like, if I didn't already own this, or if I hadn't already subscribed to this,
right?
Would I do so now?
Yeah. There you go.
That's, oh my gosh. You could uncomplicate your life immeasurably. I'm just imagining opening your refrigerator. Your pantry, even your list of friends. Like, if I hadn't already spent 20 years sending this person a Christmas card,
right?
Would I strike up a friendship with them now? If I hadn't already bought this jar of Cranch, which there's all these weird hybrid, like it's ketchup and ranch. You don't need that. You could just have ketchup and have
ranch. That's right.
If you hadn't already bought this, subscribed to this,
right,
accepted this into your life, would you do so now?
Right.
That's powerful.
It is. And you can use that type of question with a lot of things. Like, how about this? If you hadn't yet moved into your current home, how would you use the space now?
Mm.
You know, and I'm going to give everybody permission now to not have a guest room or, a junk room. So if you think I have normally, well, outside of COVID, I would have guests maybe 2 weeks a year. Well, what about the other 50 weeks? Use the rooms for their best purpose. So, maybe you have a fold away bed or something, but make that room your office or your workout room or your library or whatever else you need, and give yourself the best room. Don't make, if you do need a guest room, make sure your office has lots of, the windows, it's the room you want. So, just get, holidays are coming and just, rethink things a little bit. So many people want to hire me to help them declutter their guest room that's turned into a junk room. And by the way, they've got an office in the corner of their bedroom, and that's just not ideal. It doesn't help with sleep, for one.
So. I can see why your word is decide.
Yes.
Because
decide.
Obviously for you, but also that's ultimately what you do, Barbara. You help people decide item by item, if this wasn't already part of your life, should it be?
Yeah.
Do you want it to be? And to allow them to release things without any blame, shame, or wasted time.
Right.
I think sometimes we buy things, we receive things, we download things for the life that we think we want or right. maybe one day have.
Or had.
That's right. So true. But yeah. when we're being like really, really honest with ourselves and just accepting this is actually the life I have and do these things serve me?
Right.
What exactly. a difference.
Yeah.
And I have one more question for you.
Sure.
Are people really liking working virtually? Because I would imagine, you know, if a lot of people, you know, they probably put off really long time hiring you and then they finally just can't stand it anymore. And they break down and they say, please, and they come running out to the car. But now that you're working virtually and mm-hmm. actually can serve a lot more people and you're no longer dependent on your location, do people like it? And have you noticed if there's anything about it that's different? Like, are people maybe less ashamed because you're not actually in their house? Or can you work faster because you're not there physically? I'm just really curious about the virtual aspect of it, because this really is the way of the future. And this is probably how you're going to be working from this point forward.
Okay. So as for working virtually, there's one week I know I had 17 Zoom meetings.
Wow.
It was a lot. It was quite a lot. But one thing I've found with working virtually as an organizer is clients are really liking it because, number one, our sessions are shorter. Mm-hmm. So instead of 4 hours in person to accommodate for driving time, they're usually around 2 hours, mm-hmm. 1.5 to 2.5 hours. They can be, you know, shorter. So if somebody really physically couldn't do as much for 4 hours, they're more likely to be able to do more of the physical work for a shorter amount of time.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And another thing is that, again, we are just laser focused on one area at a time. So it's kind of working well for mm-hmm. people who have ADD, attention mm-hmm. issues, and we're hyper focused. And that's when that hyper focus can be really useful. And then the third thing, which I just love, is that one client said, you see only what I want you to see. So it kind of lessens that shame.
That's what I was really wondering, because, you know, a lot of times people don't get help in an expedient manner because they don't want anybody. How many people do you know that clean their house before the housekeeper comes?
Everybody.
Yeah. And so
my mother,
right? So it's like that much harder, but yeah. I would imagine working virtually really is really better for everyone. Allows you to serve more people, allows you to do yeah. it in smaller chunks. So maybe that you yeah. can just focus and get a win right. and then move on.
Right.
And, so what would you like people to know about you? How can they contact you? And do you have anything special coming up? Because I'm sure there are people listening that will definitely want to check out Zen Your Den.
Sure. Well, you can reach out to me through my website, zenyourden.com. That's probably the easiest way. And you can also connect with me on Facebook. The links are on my website. I'm going to have a vision board free webinar in December. It looks like it's going to be the 15th, and that's going to be kind of introducing a virtual vision board workshop in January. Because I don't know about you, but none of this crap in 2000 was on my vision board. And when I had two workshops at the beginning of the year, and nobody imagined this. So we're kind of reimagining 2021, and I know that everybody's become much more flexible over this year, and we've had to learn to bob and weave, but I think we can still do some planning and envisioning, revisioning.
I like that. And I also think that, you know, sometimes people are afraid to let things go because they haven't yet figured out what they want to take its place. And right. I'm just thinking that if you know you have clutter, digital, physical, and otherwise, and you're just not dealing with it, because mm-hmm. then what? That it might be really, really awesome to go to something like this vision board workshop, because when you know what is ahead and you yeah. get excited about that, it's probably easier to let go of the things that are taking up the space that you're going to need for your new adventures and whatever you're envisioning next in your life. So I like that. That sounds awesome. We'll make sure that we have links to Barbara and all of her wonderful stuff in the show notes. And do you have any parting words or one thing that you think everyone needs to know about organizing?
Well, nobody's perfect. I think everybody can use some organizing help at some point in their lives, whether it's paper or, you know, other physical clutter. There is no one way to organize, and I'm very flexible with clients. Some want to keep more than others. And I offer non-judgmental help for busy and overwhelmed people. So
that's the best tagline ever. Non-judgmental help for busy and overwhelmed people. If that doesn't describe the audience of the Driven Woman, I don't know what does. Thank you, Barbara, so much. This has been a delightful very helpful conversation.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad to have been on here. Thank you so much, Diane.
You bet. Hey, I hope you're enjoying listening to the Driven Woman podcast and looking forward to each new episode every Tuesday. Are you ready to take our relationship to the next level? Visit my website at DianeWingardCoaching.com. I have a weekly blog. There's a quiz you can take to find out what your ADHD signature strength is, and some other freebies like the 6 Steps to ADHD Mastery or the Driven Woman Roadmap Fast Track to Success. And if you're ready to get serious about going from spinning to winning, and taking yourself from driven but distracted to focused, fired up, and flame retardant, you should definitely sign up for a free consultation. We'll spend 30 minutes talking about where you are, where you want to be, and whatever's getting in the way. I won't try to sell you if you're not right for coaching and I'm not the right one for you. But if you are, this might be the best way to make 2021 your best year ever. Want to hear from someone who's actually worked with me? Have a listen to my client, Rachel.
I didn't have you helping me along the way to understand a lot of this stuff. The meds would have been a waste for me, a complete and total waste. I would have had a little bit more energy, maybe, but still, the habits, whatever. There's no magic pill. It's always going to be something I'm going to have to work on. And I am understanding that and being okay with that and just kind of working through that and thinking and being intentional and stopping myself and doing all of the things for the first time in my life. I'm going to tell you right now, the meds have allowed me to slow stuff down enough that I've never been this effective at anything cognitive ever in my life. But I've also never had it explained to me by somebody who understands what's going on in my head either.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.